How many letters were written to the Corinthian church that we know about?
Four.
We have two out of the four. And this two is very, very important. Very important letters. There's a lot of problems going on in the world today that are very much related to what happened in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Apostle Paul, some of the greatest church instruction that we have is from 1 and 2 Corinthians. We know more of the life of Paul and about Paul from 2 Corinthians than we do any other place in the Bible, because he was defending himself against accusations. Church members beat each other up sometimes.
Yeah.
And church members abuse each other and use each other, defraud each other in every way you can think of. And the Apostle Paul talks about many of these things. Religion sometimes is a tool of con artists. Is it not?
Yep.
Can you name some? Jim Jones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would Hitler be considered one?
Yeah, Hitler. In all reality, Muhammad. Muhammad, one of the greatest cons of all time. Charles Taze Russell, Joseph Smith. We see some of these people that were bad and used religion to be worse. They were all exposed to the Bible and all exposed to religion. Muhammad was exposed to some of the early churches in Damascus, and he was exposed to preachers. But he chose to just twist the Bible up into a pretzel and claim it as an inspired message from Allah, the moon god. 7 and verse 7 is where we'll start.
Where's that?
Ooh, 7 and verse 7. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. We finished there. Our last message was on the 7th of January. U monon de ente parousia, auto ola kai en te parakalese, he parakalese, f himon angelon, himon tain himon epipothesen, ton hamon. O dur moon, ton himon, zelon, heper, imu, hoste, me, malon, karene. That's a long verse. A long verse. Moreover, not only in the presence. Now, this syntax puts that word day there, that little weak adversity conjunctive particle, and you can put page 85 down there if you want to. That's where it comes from in the analytical Greek lexicon. Not only. U is from u, which means not, adverb of negation, and then only is a little adjective describing how much. In the presence, look at that word, parousia. That word comes from para and eimi. And that means beside being. Beside being of him. But, strong adversative conjunction, chi there is not a conjunction, but is a particle of acclimation or accumulation. But also in the comfort, para klese. In comfort. Paraklesi. Brother Ray, almost every time I come up here, I hug you.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I like guys. Okay? You hug somebody sometimes of the same sex and of the opposite sex because You have comfort in them, and they have comfort in you. All the early churches, I did a sermon on kissing one time. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
I did a sermon on kissing. Were you there, Sharon? No. Marilyn, you maybe were there. I don't know. But I did a sermon on kissing because all the church members kissed each other. That was a sign of affection.
Right.
Your lips are very sensitive, aren't they? And you're making yourself vulnerable to the other person. And you hold to them closely and you comfort them. That's what's in this word right here. Paraclesis. In comfort. That means affection and kissing and hugging and physical shows of how you mentally feel. Now, there are people that you'd want to go up and hug, aren't there? It would be real good if you stayed away from them, as far as you could stay, because they're dangerous, aren't they? In your families? In your life? They may as well have leprosy or something, because, boy, they're toxic. They're poison in relationship. In comfort, that means to become very close, which he has comforted. Besides, again, now here we have the same word now. We went from a noun up there down here to a verb, which he has comforted over you. Reporting. Now, who's it talking about here? Talking about Titus came to visit this church. And the one thing that really made Paul happy was that Titus was accepted by them as if he was an angel or a messenger of God. And that made Paul happy because he sent him. Because they had problems. In which he has comfort over you, you all, that he moaned there. That means you all. Himen is us. This is the second person plural pronoun. Genitive plural, second person plural. And then reporting. Anangalon. Anangalon. Now see those two gammas there? That's two G's in English. The first G becomes an N, and that's where we get our word angel. Anangalon. So what is this? Now this is novelty, singular, masculine, present, participle, acting. Messaging. An angel is a what?
Messenger.
A messenger. Angel is a messenger. Malak and Angelos. Messenger. A go-between. Also. Goes from one person to the other. An angel is a go-between. Messaging to us. That's, see that word, himon? There, that one there, that means dative plural, first person pronoun. Plural, us. Now, he says, as one of us, we are one people. You and this church and me are one group. We're part of that. The of you, earnest longing upon passion. And the of you, mourning. And of you, the zeal on behalf of me, so as me rather to rejoice. Now, in the Amplified, it brings this out. It says, yes, and not only by his coming, but also by his recording or account of the comfort with which he was encouraged and refreshed and cheered as to you while he told us of your yearning affection. See, remember that? That's your inner feelings, your kisses, your hugs, your love. Of how sorry you were for me, and how eagerly you took my side, so I rejoiced even more. Well, let's go on. 7 and verse 8, and basically, this is one of the key verses. Please read with me. Hote.
Hote.
A. Kai. Elu. Pesa.
Elu. Pesa.
Hamas.
In.
Te, epistole, u, metamolemai, a, kai, metamolemain, blepo, hote, he, epistole, ekaine, e, kai, pros, oron, elu, pason, himas. Since indeed because I grieved you all in the letter. That word lupio. It means to grieve. That means to cause tears and grief. We grieve over someone we love. We see them get hurt. How many of you ever experienced that? You ever have somebody that you loved so much and you saw them bleeding to death and dying or breathing their last breath? It tears your heart out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It just rips you up. That's that word. Lepio. In the letter, not I was of a different or a change of mind, not that I needed to change my mind or my will, since indeed I kept on regretting. And I see because the letter that since indeed for the hour it grieved you. For the very present hour it grieved you. It caused you grief. For even though I did grieve you with my letter, I do not regret it now. Though I did regret it, for I see that the letter did pain to you, though only for a short while. Only for a short while. Let's go on a little bit further now. Nin Cairo. Uk. Hote. Elu peithete. All. Hote. Mary Lynn, I want you to look over there and read that. I'm missing your voice on here. Okay. Elu peithete. Eis. Methanoion. Eli peithete. Gar. Kata. Theon. Kina. En, Medine, Zomiothete, Ex Himon. Now I rejoice not because you were caused pain and grief, but strong adversative conjunction. Page 15, if you want to write that one down there for the page number. Because ye were grieved unto change of mind. Unto the change of mind. Ye were grieved. For according to God, in order that, in not one thing, you might suffer loss out of us. Now the Apostle Paul was a kind pastor, wasn't he? Kind man. When I went to the seminary, during breaks and lunch and different things between the classes, you would hear preachers just telling how they skinned the sheep that weekend. One plague that seminaries do is around seminaries are usually a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. Because the churches, and the L.A. area, Bellflower, was all these churches around there. And all of these churches, not all of them, but most of the churches, were plagued with young preachers that didn't know what they were doing. And they loved the authority over people. They loved to have authority. You get a 23, 4, 5-year-old guy having authority over people. Sometimes it is horrible. And they love to go in there, and if they don't go their way, they will just skin their hides. And they will go drag about how that they set that church straight.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, when I preached to church, and you saw me preach hard messages, Brother Ray, I've got messages I won't put out on the internet. I was hard. But before I preached that message, it tore me up. I mean, I grieved before I ever preached it. I grieved. But I had to do it to save people's lives and things. It was hard. Hard to do this. And it should be hard. You ought to grieve before you preach a hard message. You ought to grieve.
Mm-hmm.
I am so thankful in this church I don't have to preach that way. Don't have to. Boy, what a wonderful group of people. I love you. Many pastors delight in skinning God's sheep, and they brag to one another. And that's nothing but sin and the Adamic nature to cause and inflict pain on others. Pastors are not to be torturers of the flock, but caretakers of it. Servants of it. Servants of it. We are not, any of us, immune to the arrows of Satan, are we? Do we have an immunity? Do we have a flu shot to the arrows of Satan? You never will. You never will. I want to go to the book of James now. See there where we are. I told you it was very related to yours, brother. James?
I don't have the monopoly on James.
Yeah. I'd say we're on the same page today.
James 4.
Yeah. Which we talked about in the last. You are like unfaithful wives. What do you call these people? You're like unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world. Breaking your marriage vows to God, do you not know that being a world's friend is being God's enemy? And so whosoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand against and becomes an enemy of God. Verse number 5, or do you suppose that the Scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the Spirit whom He has caused to dwell in you yearns over us? Now Paul is using this Spirit of God to this church in Corinth. He yearns for the Spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. But He gives us more and more grace. Grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. It's beautiful in Greek. It's just like having pancakes. That's Paul, but it's grace. Have you experienced grace?
A lot.
Have you experienced grace? Are you still here? Like a stacked grace. You know when God loves you. When I get up and preach, Brother A, you will know this. When I get up and preach, I know I'm right in the middle of God's will. That's what He wants me to do. And when I get up and preach and I see things, I mean, I'm prepared for that message. But as I'm there, more light comes on. Lights, pages open, doors open. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that one. I know you are in that message. Every message that I preach, I beg God to be in that message. I ask His blessing upon that message. Because it's from Him, it's not from me. I'm a fragile vessel, people. A fragile, sinful, dying old man. And there's nothing here. It's there. That message that counts. It's that message. I preached the message on fragile vessels here in Fish Lake Valley, and it went over really well. Hundreds of people downloaded that thing. Just hundreds of people. But they don't want to hear that. Especially preachers. That how fragile you are. A lot of people want to think of themselves as invincible, don't they? Fragility of mankind. Fragile. Fragileness. gone. Mother Vincent read several examples of people just going last heartbeat, zoom, 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 all over the place. He gives us more and more grace, grace upon grace upon grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and the haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. Be subject to God. Stand firm against the devil. Resist him and he will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Recognize that you are sinners. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what John says? You are sinners. Did you say you have no sin? You're a liar. Recognize that you are sinners and get your soiled hands clean. Realize that you have been disloyal, wavering individuals and divided in interests, and purify your hearts of your spiritual adultery. Draw near to God and be deeply penitent and grieve, even weep over your disloyalty. Let your laughter be turned to grief and your mirth to dejection and the heartfelt shame of your sins. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. That's what Paul is trying to tell them here. And it worked. It worked. The church straightened up and the church worked. It went on. 7 and verse 10. See, we took that little short trip over there to James. Hey, gar, kata, theon, lipe, metanoion, eis, soterion, ama te melonton, ergazete, he de tu, cosmu, lipe, thonaton, kater gazete. For according to the God, grief and repentance unto salvation. Now, when we're saved, we don't become holy. Not on this earth. But when God looks at us, he calls us holy, doesn't he? Because of the blood of his Son. Because he sees us through that blood. And we are called saints, even though we are not saints. The Catholic Church canonized saints when they think that people... Now, get this. When the Catholic Church canonizes a person, they say that they did such good works that they did more than to get them in heaven. More than enough to get them in heaven. You realize what's that saying? That the blood of Jesus Christ didn't matter in that person's life. Because they did so many good works that they had more than enough good works to get to heaven. So you can pray to them and use some of their excess merits. Boy, what a hellish doctrine.
Yep.
We are sinners. Saved by grace. For according to the God, grief and repentance unto salvation. By the way, how many people have ever been saved wish they weren't? Well, how about it, Sharon? Have you ever regretted you were saved?
No.
How about it, Vincent?
I never have.
Carol, have you ever regretted you were saved?
No.
Marilyn?
No.
How about it, Brother Ray? You ever regret it?
Well, I know one lady, you know, told me that very thing.
Yeah.
She says, sometimes I wish I wasn't saved.
Yeah.
Because I can't do what I want to do.
Yep, that's right.
Somebody already knows, young Lord, I couldn't grasp that. I said, man, what did you eat this morning?
what you eat. What gave you such indecision? Terrible. Well, do we ever get disappointed because we can't have the things in the world that we want?
We have everything we need.
Yeah. We get disappointed sometimes. But we know that we don't need that. You're not your own. Are you? Are you your own? That woman regretted being her own, brother.
Yeah.
There was something that didn't get fixed.
Something was wrong.
Something didn't get fixed. We may be very disgruntled with ourselves, but never with the salvation of God.
Amen.
It's unregrettable. That's the term, unregrettable. Salvation unregrettable, not to be repented of. When a man is really saved and really knows God, he will always be glad of it. No matter what happens to him, no matter what position he's in or her in, you'll always be glad you're saved. Never, never, never will you ever repent of being saved. You may repent of being a member of some churches. and people can make you sorry that you'd ever seen them, known them. Remember a while ago I said hugging and comforting and kissing? Some of them you just want to say, thank you. Stay right over there, brother. Stay right there. Don't come any closer. Beware. Unregrettable. It works for itself, but the world, grief and death, it comes down to the finish. Comes down to the finish for itself. Verse number 10. For godly grief and the pain of God is permitted to direct and produce repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. And it never brings regret. Never brings regret. But worldly grief, the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world, is deadly, breeding and ending in death. The first funeral I ever did was that of an atheist. And they told me not to preach anything out of the Bible, but that I could read Psalm 22, but not make any comments on it. Boy, talk about a short service. And that I could read them and lead them in the Psalm 23. But that's all I could say. I couldn't say anything about heaven or eternity or anything else. And I did this for a guy that I work with at Sunland Refinery so many, many years ago. How would you like that one put on you, Brother Ray?
Gee, I don't know if I can handle that.
I preached for free funerals. I never preached for money, but I preached many, many funerals free because they knew I would not charge people anything. And many people did not. I preached babies' funerals. I preached all kinds of poor people's funerals. And I always tried to do a good job. And I never expected anything. I never really wanted to be paid for preaching funerals. I mean, the people are already in grief. They don't need one more bill. Especially nowadays, people can't even afford to put people in the ground. They can't afford to do that. Yeah. They have to cremate them or do something with them, do something. They used to have pauper graves. Pauper graveyard, they had one out at Union Cemetery.
Yeah.
A atheist in a casket, in their own minds, are all dressed up and no place to go. But they won't stay there. Graveyards are necropolis. Necropolis, that's the city of the dead. They're not going to stay there, people. They're all going to be resurrected one of these days. The first ones that are resurrected is going to be nice, but the second resurrection is not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the resurrection you want to be in. For godly grief and pain, God is permitted to direct and produce repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil, and it never brings regret. But worldly grief and the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world is deadly, breeding and ending in eternal death. Total separation. That word thanatos there. Necros is a dead body, but we're talking about thanatos here, thanaton. That's separation forever from God. Now, atheists don't want to believe an answer to a God, do they? Or agnostics. Well, God will not cause them and make them go to heaven. They get to be in the other place. Mm-hmm. Now, how good a person is and how bad a person is very important. Is it not? Mm-hmm. Even a person that is lost, is it very important that they're good? Good people? Because they're going to go to hell. But in hell, there's various degrees like there are in heaven, various degrees. And grief and repentance is a gift. Did you know that? Grief and repentance is a gift. 7 and verse 11. Idu gar auto. I'm glad to hear your voice in this, Marilyn. Tuto to kata theo. Lipethane. Passe. Kata gasato. Amen. Spudain. Ola. Apoligion. Ola. Agnoctason. Ola. Bobon. Ola. Epipothason. Ola. Zalon. Ola. Ekdikason. In Ponte, sin es tesate, hiatus. Let me see if it goes further than that. These are long verses. Yeah, it goes on. Hagnos, ene, to, pragmati. Gar, edu. For behold a thing, this. According to the God, to be grieved. What? It works out for itself. To in ye. This word here means honesty, eagerness to do right. It means to do it in a hurry. Change your mind and do it in a hurry. But defense, vindication, to talk back in defense of oneself, but agonizing, vexing of spirit, but fear, but eager desire, eager compassion, but zeal, but vengeance. In all things, ye demonstrated yourselves pure, unspotted, unstained, to be in the pragmata, in this matter or incident. Let's go back now and look at this from the... That pragmatic comes right out of that word, Vincent. Pragmati. Pragmatic. That's where it comes from. Agnus, that means pure and unspotted. The word phobon there, that's where we get our word phobia in English, which is a fear. And that eager desire, eager compassion, and that word zelon there, that's where we get our word zeal. It comes right out of Greek. And now we have this word to mete out justice. And then it means to demonstrate. That means to stand together and make it evident yourselves. Pure to be in this affair. 11 is a gigantically long verse. For you can look back now and observe what this same godly sorrow has done for you and has produced in you, what eagerness and earnest care. Explain and clear yourselves of all complicity in the condoning of incest. That's what was going on in that church, when incest. This guy was living with his own mother, not his father's wife, but his mother, in sexual relationship. And they were flaunting it, coming to church and hugging each other and kissing and going on, and flaunting this before the other church members. And you condone this. And what indignation at the sin, and what alarm and yearning with zeal to do the justice to all concerned, what readiness to mete out punishment to the offender. At every point you proved yourself clearly and guiltless in the matter. In 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, this is where it goes back, where they were allowing all this to go on. 7 and verse 12 now. Ara, A, K, Egrapsa. Himen, Uk, Enekin. Tu, Etekina, Ek, A, D, K, Santos. Ude, Enekin. And that's got a rough breather on it, Enekin. Tu, A, D, K, Santos. All, Enekin. Tu, Phanerothe nae, Tain, Spudain, Himon, Tain, Hiper, Himon, Prosimos, Enopion, Tuthiu. And it says, and I wrote to you. That's where we get our word graph, graphics and things from, Igrapsa. First person, singular, first heiress, indicative, active, to you all. For the sake of the having done wrong and unjustly, adikia, neither for the sake of the one having been wronged, but for the to make plain and sure the earnestness of you on behalf of us toward you before the presence of God. Down in the very sight of God. 7 and verse 12. So although I did write to you as I did, it was not for the sake of and because of the one who did this the wrong, nor on account of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that you might realize before God that your readiness to accept our authority revealed how zealous you were, that you care for us, that you did, how zealously you did care for us. Verse number 13. Dia tuto, paraklemethe, epi de, te, paraklese, himon perisontoros, Malon, ek ar remen, epi, te, kara, titu, hote, ana, pep, potai, and we still got another long, these are long verses, to, numa, auto, apo, ponton, himon. Because we have been comforted. Look at that word, we have been comforted. Upon, but the comfort of us, it is super abounding. It's gone way beyond anything that we expected. And we rejoiced over the joy of Titus. What does Titus mean? You remember? What's Titus mean? It's almost like that. It means title, name, or renown. Yeah, that's what Titus means. Titus, that is a very high name. Titus has been refreshed and rested in the spirit of him from all of you. You all did this. 13. Therefore, we are relieved and comforted and encouraged at the result. And in addition to our own personal consolation, we were especially delighted at the joy of Titus, because you have all set his mind at rest, soothing and refreshing him all the way down to his spirit. Is your spirit refreshed today through God's word? Let's go on a little bit further. Hote, a ti alto, hiper himon, kakax me, u kara skeintein, hola, or all that is, hos, panta, en alithia elelesamen. Another long verse. Himen hutos kai he kakesis himon ehe epititon alithia eganethe. That word, because, since, there, the word, that's a third, first class consensual particle there. And what rules that is that one down below that, that's what kakoxame. First person singular, perfect indicative mode is what makes that a first class conditional, and middle voice. I have bragged because I wanted to. Not I was ashamed, but as all things in truth we spoke and we have spoken to you, so as, just as also the boasting of us over Titus, truth it became. 14. For if I boasted to him all concerning you, I was not disappointed or put to shame, but just as everything we ever said to you was true, so our boasting about you to Titus has proved to be true also. Verse 15, we only got two verses left in this chapter, and we're going to finish them right now. Kai ta splotna. Auto perison te. Teros, Ace, Himas, Eston, Ana Mimenescomeno. Tain, Ponton Himon, Hippo Kuain, Hos Meta, Phobu, Kai Tromu, Edexaste, Auton. And my guts. That's what it says. And the guts of him. The guts and the bowels. Sometimes the flu virus, the first thing it hits is your bowels and your guts. It seems like when you see something happen, this is weird. Okay? They always, you know, I go to these gun concealed weapon permit and armed guard things. And they tell you, if you have a shootout with somebody and you kill somebody, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to lose bowel and bladder control. Mm-hmm. That's this word right here. Mm-hmm. That's this word. And if you go in the army, the first guy they kill, I remember reading Audie Murphy, he killed two Italian officers, the first two he killed. Didn't bother him. You know, he killed over 300 people. 250 in one battle he killed. He said, I didn't feel any different at all about it. It's something that I just had to do. It didn't affect him. But yes, it did. Because the rest of his life, he screamed all night in battle. My father went to war. He was in Europe with Patton. And he screamed all night in war. And he ended up being killed robbing a liquor store when he was 23 years old. It killed him. And Audie Murphy's life was destroyed because of him. Yes, it killed him. It affects you forever. Post-traumatic stress disorder is what they call it. My stepson has it. He was in Iraq and Afghanistan 3 years on the front line. Shooting and killing and being shot at. That's not a normal life, is it? Paul uses this term here because it is a military term. It is something the soldiers... Are we soldiers in the Lord's army?
Mm-hmm.
Are we? Is there a time maybe that you might have to give your life up for Jesus? Yes. There may be a time. People in the world right now that are hearing this message maybe are in danger of death because they even listened to this message. And the bowels of him abundantly toward you, it is remembering of all the things you did in obedience and fear and trembling. The word phobo there again, that means belong. It means being gripped in fear and gripped in trembling. Gripped in fear and gripped in trembling. I have been in gunfights. And I'm going to tell you something. When I got through, I was shaken. I was really surprised they're still alive. You meet this type of thing. You meet danger. When we're dealing with God's Word, we're dealing with a God of eternity. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
And when you're administering it or teaching it or studying it, He's real. He's not a myth. He's for real. And his heart goes out to you more abundantly than ever. He recalls how submissive to his guidance you all were, and with reverence and anxiety to meet all requirements with which you accepted and welcomed him. And all of those words that I just told you are there. The trembling and the fear that grips you. And verse number 16, that's a final kind of a beatitude or condolence. Cairo. Hote en Ponte. Tharo en Himen. Cairo. Now, Sharon, didn't you live in Cairo, Egypt one time?
Yes,
you lived in Cairo, Egypt. That's not Cairo, Egypt here. The word is Cairo, and it means I rejoice. I am filled with grace. Always and forevermore. I rejoice and I'm filled in grace that in all things I am confident in you. Look at that word, Thario. That means to stand on firm ground. Now, stand on firm ground. I am very happy because I now am of good courage and have perfect confidence in all things. That word there, Thario, that means to stand on firm ground. Is your salvation sure? Firm ground. Now, how many of you lived in New York, didn't you, Sharon? Any of the rest of you been in New York? Nope, I have. Been to New York twice. New York is a city of great big tall buildings. And when you're building those buildings, you're hanging out there in the middle of nothing and walking on narrow beams, one step in front of another, and it may be hundreds of feet below. When I worked in the oil fields, I was a derrick man in production and in those tall derricks. I got knocked out of a derrick one time, and I caught myself and busted a rib doing it. I was knocked off I was standing on the elevators as they were pulling the thing out of the hole. Because back in those days, we had to climb the ladder. And I had worked 16 hours already, and I was working and working. I was worn out. And the driller says, Jim, get on those elevators and write those elevators up. He said, don't climb that ladder every time. He said, you're wore out. We drilled 1,500 feet. That's a lot of connections, people, just one after another, climbing, climbing, climbing. Derrick man's got to go up there every time. Now they got angel lifts and stuff that you take up there and, you know, you don't have to do all this. I went up there and was going up on the elevators, and he forgot I was on the elevators because I never rode them before. And we had a tight hole, and he was spudding the thing, and I was up on top of this thing, and that pipe running up here, slamming the blocks and driving them down, and I'm holding on to elevators. He finally bent the blocks over like that and knocked the breath out of me and knocked me off the elevators, and I fell. And I was about 65, 70 feet tall. And I caught the edge of that thing and pulled it in like this. And boy, and he never knew I did this even happened. He wasn't looking. He was watching the down here at the turntable, the roller table. He wasn't looking at me up there. I'll tell you something. Things were happening up there. And I had no firm ground to stand on. They used to get Indians back there in New York because they had no fear of heights for some reason. And they were the ones, the northeastern Indians were the ones that were the steel tires. They were the ones. You read it. This is fact. I guess they didn't need a firm ground to stand on. But I'm going to tell you, there's false religions out there, people, that don't have firm ground. There is no firm ground. Only Jesus is that firm ground. I want Jesus. You want Jesus? You want Jesus to be your Savior, and you want Him to be the author of your salvation? These were the beautiful verses here. We went from 7 what? 7? 7? 7 through 16. Did you learn something in here? It's beautiful. The Word of God is beautiful. His power, it is real. These are not fables. These are not fairy tales. This is real thing. This really happened back here. This is history of what happened in this church and God's prescription for it. Do you want to give us the invitation, Vincent, or you got that out?
451.
I
didn't write it down.
Okay, 451. 451. If you're out there and you don't know Christ, you can have a firm foundation in Him. If you're out there and you know Christ, depend upon His Word, depend upon Him as your Savior and your guide. And you can overcome sickness, disease, whatever is plaguing you, you can overcome it.
Amen.
Because you know what? Jesus said, don't worry about those that can kill you, but worry about those that can put your soul in hell from now on. You worry about that, Brother Vincent.
Times like these, you need a Savior. Times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure, your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus, yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure. Anchor holds and grips a solid rock.
Amen. Have you ever had a friend that you could tell anything you wanted to in the world and you knew it was safe? You ever had a friend that you could trust no matter what? Have you ever had a friend like that? That's the kind of friend Jesus is. He's always there. We're very lucky when we have a friend like that in this world. Very special. But we always have Jesus. Always have Jesus. Maybe you will never meet a friend like that. But Jesus is always there. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out. And we ask you to send your Spirit with it. Help it to comfort those that are in trouble. To convict those that need to be saved and need to have that firm foundation of your salvation. Forgive us where we fail you, and help us to glorify you with our lives, because that's why we're here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.